Boy, what a wonderful day it is to be in the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. And I think every one of us should be able to say that with him as well. We are so thankful and grateful for the presence of all of you that are here this morning. It's been a busy, busy week, and I was simply going to give you a lesson off the top of my head, but that didn't work out, so I decided I better study for this one. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 and following. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, for this reason I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Notice what Paul says. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard all that I have entrusted unto him against that day. I want to talk to you this morning about what it means to be sifted, lifted, and finally gifted by God. You know, you may not believe it, but you are being sifted. We talked about the work of Satan and his angels in our Bible class this morning, and how Satan works to deceive us and to draw us away from our God who is in heaven. And he does that, and when he does it, we refer to him as sifting us. At the Last Supper, Jesus warned Simon Peter that a test was coming. And he said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. You know, I've come to believe that if Satan could ask for Simon Peter, then he could ask for you. He could ask for me. And he endeavors to sift us. Well, what do we mean by that in reality? Being sifted is kind of like sifting flour. You understand what I'm talking about. If you're baking a cake or you're baking biscuits or whatever it happens to be, you always want to make sure you sift the flour. Sifted as wheat actually is a metaphor that is used to shake someone apart or break a person down. You know, back during the days of Christ, they had two plants out in the field. One of them was called wheat and one was called chaff. And you would sift it. And the chaff resembled the wheat. It was hard to tell them apart. And the way that you were able to distinguish was by actually sifting. Amos 9 and verse 9 gives us a really striking image of God shaking Israel. For I will give the command and will shake Israel along with the other nations, and grain is shaken in a sieve, yet not one true kernel will be lost. Now, I want you to consider what that really means to be sifted by Satan. I don't know, but what God could sift us just as he gave the word to the prophet Amos. But I'm concerned today about the sifting of Satan. In sifting Peter, and Jesus says that Satan had asked that he be sifted, Satan's goal was to actually crush them and wreck and destroy their faith. In truth, the adversary seeks to destroy you and to destroy me. Peter said that he is as a roaring lion who is seeking whom he may devour. He is trying to bring to naught your faith. But in the book of John 10 and verse 10, we know that faith is so important, isn't it? Jesus said, I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith fail not. You know, when people are strong, just like Peter was strong and Paul was strong, Paul even said, when I endeavor to be strong, he said, then I become weak. And when I am weak, I seek to become strong. There are two dimensions in our life. Satan wants to enhance the dimension that says live like the world. Do what Satan wants you to do. And then on the other hand, we have God who is saying, I want you to live like me. I want you to pattern your life after me. Peter said he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And when you have repented, he says to Peter, and he says, and you have turned again, he said, strengthen your brethren. You know, we go through a real temptation and trial in life, and we are able to meet that temptation with our great faith, as Peter did, then we are to strengthen one another. And that was the part that Peter played in the New Testament church, sifting. Satan wants to sift us. And he sifts us in a number of ways. Are you being sifted this morning like wheat? Are you? Sometimes it's extremely painful when you are sifted. Jesus mentions it again in Luke 22 and verse 31. But does Satan have to get God's permission before he can attack us? And the answer to that question is yes. Do you remember even in the Old Testament when Satan launched a horrible attack against the great patriarch we call Job? Did you know before Job could be tempted, before he could be tried, before he could be afflicted in his body from his head down to his feet, that Satan had to get permission from God to do it? And he went before God and he says, give me permission. And I will make him lose his faith. And God said, I will allow you to do everything in the world you want to do to Job, but there's one thing you cannot do. You cannot take his life. And Job was right when he made the statement, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, Simon, probably a lot of things were going through his mind like it is going through your mind even right now. And you're thinking, well, there's no way that I would ever succumb. There is no way that I would ever give in to Satan. And that's exactly what Simon Peter said. He said, Lord, I'm not going to allow anything to draw me away from you. But Satan had permission. And when Peter was tempted, he denied Jesus three times. I don't know the man. I haven't been with Jesus, he said. And then he began to swear with oaths and curses against the name of our Lord. You know, it's tough sometimes, isn't it, when our faith is tested? We all talk about how great our faith is, and we talk about how faithful we are, that we're going to be faithful to the end. But sometimes Satan can come and put a little obstacle in our way, and before you know it, we have given way to Satan. You get up on a Sunday morning and you say, I want to go to worship God today. But you get a phone call from someone who says, let's go to the golf course. Oh, I can't go today. I want to go worship God. Well, you mean you're into that God stuff? Why don't you go today? You can just go today and we'll play and have a great time and you can worship God next week. And you know what you do? You end up giving in to Satan. And it happens over and over and over in different ways. There is one of two things that will happen to you if you are sifted. You will either manifest that you are chaff, or the shaking of your trial will remove the debris, all of those bad things from your heart. Your instability as a Christian, and it causes you to be refined like gold. Now that's the difference. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians that when they are shifted and sifted, they do not manifest that they are genuine and true. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 6 through 12, it shows that Satan is making a similar request of Job, as I mentioned a moment ago. The deceiver was accusing Job of selfishness, of pride. He said, if you take down all that he has, and the Bible declared him to be the richest man in the East, he had everything going his way. He was in who's who of young men. He was in who's who of those who were liked. In young professionals. He didn't lack for anything. He didn't have to worry about where his next meal was coming from. He was not impoverished at all. But the devil accused him before God. You know, the Bible refers to the devil as the accuser. What does he accuse you of? You know, sometimes when we have strong faith, the devil accuses you and says he doesn't have strong faith. He has weak faith. And he accuses you. Now think about it, folks. If God allowed Satan to accuse his own son and the apostle Peter and the patriarch Job, can he be right now accusing you before God? They may be accusing you. Satan may be, and he may be saying, oh, I know they show up down there at the church house, but they're nothing like they claim to be. And so when Satan starts shifting us, we start falling apart. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. Think about it. You know that Satan is right here today. You and I, we have come to present ourselves unto God. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and forth in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth? In other words, God is saying, you may have your angels, but I have the servant Job, and everything that you said would turn him away is the very thing that has made him stronger. He is one that fears God, and he escheweth evil. He shuns it. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Why, you have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth now thy hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to your face. God could have done that, but he didn't do it. And you know what? It proves one thing to me, that God knows more than Satan. Satan accused Job, but God knew more. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon him put not thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. But here's the catch. Satan's real target was not Job, and it really wasn't Peter, and it is not you. His real target was God himself. He targets you because you are loyal unto God. He sifts you to find out just how strong you really are. His real desire was to discredit the God who made us and fashioned us in His own likeness. But God has placed severe limitations on Satan's power. He can only sift or tempt or heckle or intimidate those of us who claim to be the children of God. But He cannot touch us unless the Christian is tricked into believing God's protection and believes Satan's lies. I like the words of John 4 and verse 4. 1 John 4 and verse 4. Greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. And you know what? Satan found it out. But be sober, Peter said. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, and he is seeking whom he may devour. And the way he devours us is by sifting us. He sifts us through sickness. You're well. You're doing great. You've done all the right things. You take in all the vitamins you can. You get the workouts. I mean, you're doing great. And Satan comes along and he surprises you with a mysterious illness. And the reason I say that is back when we had COVID so prevalent, it was a mysterious illness. We didn't know what to do about it. We'd never seen anything like it before in our life. And it begins to shake the faith of a lot of people. You know what it did? It shook the faith of a lot of people who sit on empty pews. Look at them. They were one time very faithful to God. Today their pew is empty. Our faith is shifted not only with illness, but with the death of a loved one. We say, if God loves us, how could He take away my husband? Or if God really loves me, how could He take away my wife? Why would my child die before me? It's just not right. And Satan begins to sift us. Divorce. Your husband walks out on you. Or your wife comes to you and says, I don't love you anymore. And he walks out the door, or she does. It is Satan's way of sifting you. You have work-related issues. You try to be honest, you try to be people of integrity, but the people around you that you work with are not that way. And God allows Satan to sift you. Your friends. Christ said, mine own familiar friend has raised up his heel against me. Friends that you love have turned against you. It's Satan's way of sifting you. Temptation comes your way, and the sifting continues. But what a wonderful promise to know that sifting is not synonymous with defeat. Sifting, according to the Bible, is synonymous with victory. Job said, when I am tried or when I am sifted, he said, I will come forth as gold. But then there's another thing I want you to notice this morning. Satan sifts us. But God lifts us. God lifts us from the sifting. We often sing those songs of how God lifts us. Love lifted me, we sing. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, deeply stained within. And Christ rescued us. He lifted me. We sing. What a joy. Or we sing, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's promised land. James 4 and verse 10, James said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you. He will lift you up. I like these words from Job. When Job was going through all these trials, the words of Job stand out profoundly. When men are cast down, then you shall say that there is a lifting up. And so for any of you who maybe feel that you're being sifted this morning, I'm telling you there is a lifting up beyond the sifting. For God will lift you up. Remember the story of Job? How the story ended? It didn't end with the words it might have been. But it ended with Job being victorious and all that he had was restored and even much, much more. It just goes to show you that victory comes to the victim and turns him into a victor. If God can lift us, why are we dismayed? There is a lifting up for the people of God. Jesus said of himself in John 12 and 32, If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And that he does, doesn't he? He outstretches his loving arms and brings us to himself. We must, as 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, lift you up, casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. God says, humble ourselves. Let others praise you. Don't praise yourself. If we want God to lift us up, let us get down. The lower we get, the higher God will lift us. Well, when men are cast down, and we get cast down a lot, don't we? When we're going through the sifting process, it is God's way of saying, I told you, Satan, how strong her faith was. I told you how strong his faith was. Now, we never, ever hear Satan say, I told you I could draw him away from you, God. God saves the humble person. I'm so thankful for the hope that we have in Christ. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord, or who wait on him, will renew their strength. And they will soar on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not be faint. Now that's a promise that God has given to those of us. When he lifts us. He lifts us. And David was right in Psalms 30 and verse 1 when he said, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. That brings me to the last point this morning. Sifted, lifted, and gifted. Gifted. You know, we hear a lot in schools today about the gifted and the talented. You know who the gifted and the talented are? People like you, like me. You. I'm speaking this morning to the gifted and the talented. We have a way of labeling people. But sometimes our labels are incorrect. Sometimes our definition of the gifted and the talented might be wrong. Just because you may make an A or an A+ on a paper or in your class at school doesn't mean you're gifted and talented. It just means that you had a memory and you could use it to put down what you read. I've seen some people before who were labeled as gifted and talented, and some of them were the dumbest thing on the block. You and I are the gifted and the talented. Let me define gifted for you. Gifted individuals are those who possess exceptional abilities or talents in one or more areas. That's you. You may not be a 10-talent person. You may be a 2-talent person. You may be a 1-talent. You know what? I know you're one of those because the Bible says that God gives to every man according to their ability. No one was left out. These abilities are often innate and can manifest in a variety of ways, such as exceptional creativity, intelligence, or maybe leadership skills. Gifted individuals may have a heightened sensitivity to their environment and may experience intense emotions or reactions to various stimuli. You see, the church is a gifted people. It is a gifted people. Matthew 7, verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him? You and I are the gifted and the talented because we are the church. In 1 Corinthians 7 and 7, Paul says, but I would that all men were even as myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and the other after that. If you're gifted this morning, it's because you serve a loving and an eternal God who is in heaven, who knows you can handle your talent. That's what God says. He gave to people according to their various abilities. That's why I say the church is the gifted and talented. Even so ye, 1 Corinthians 14:12. For as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, he says, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you may want more spiritual gifts. You want more talent. You may want more of those things that God has given to men. And you know what Paul says? The greatest gift is the gift of love and the gift to edify and build up the body of Christ. I praise God for people who build up other people instead of tearing them down. I rose not to tear down, but to build up. Have you ever noticed how easy it is sometimes when a building is being imploded and they got all that dynamite in there? I remember when they did Texas Stadium that way. You remember how all the wonderful ball games we used to see with the Dallas Cowboys out of Texas Stadium, and then to see one day it just all collapse and it was all taken away. A lot easier to tear down than it is to build up. Be thankful whatever God gifted to you. Be happy whatever God gifted to others. Wherefore he saith, Ephesians 4 and verse 8, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And I think in many cases the church has not even tapped into all the wonderful gifts that God has for his children. The wages of sin is still death. Payment has never been reduced. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Sometimes we find it difficult to identify our gift. God's gift to you does not come in a package that is wrapped and it has ribbon all over it. That's not the way it comes. Maybe God's already given his gift to you, but you haven't found it. You've never opened it. And you can't really be thankful until you open it. We are gifted to serve God and others. And salvation is by far the greatest gift that our God has ever given unto mankind in this world. When Jesus was baptized and raised and lifted, he became gifted. He said, I present him to you. And Christ heard the words of his Father in heaven say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So for you and I, we may be sifted, but we're saved. Sometimes people make light of the church and make fun of those who endeavor to be Christians. I tell them all the time, we're not perfect, we're just forgiven. We're just forgiven. When I was born to a mother and a father who loved me more than life, who nurtured me in the way of God. When I was in my mother's womb, I was not a potential human. But I was and still am a human with potential, created by God, made in his image, gifted and lifted. And this morning, maybe you're not a Christian. You're a part of the non-gifted and lifted. But Satan's still sifting you. Sifted is your label right now. But you have the ability to allow God to lift you. He's waiting to lift you. Right now. To lift you. And plant your feet on higher ground. And when he lifts you out of that water, he has given you his gift. In Acts 2, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive, that's gift, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. It's your decision. Can't force you to do it, but I can certainly encourage you to do it. For heaven's sake, let us stand and let us sing.